You are now entering the MXU podcast. No credentials required.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 114 of the MXU podcast. I'm Jeff Sandstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Lee Fields. And today we have our good buddy, Corey Edwards, joining us.
Never heard of him.
Well, me neither.
He's all right. How you guys doing?
Great. I wish Corey was here with us.
I know you guys are just a couple hours away.
Yeah. We're here in Knox Vegas, Tennessee.
That's right. We are in person together, but Corey's not with us, but we're at the new MXU HQ.
That's right.
And it is starting to take shape. I got to tell you, we've got flooring, we've got lighting, we've got boxes of furniture in the back ready to be assembled. Not just IKEA crap either. We've got real legit like green room pieces.
Totally. Chip and Joanna threw up in the warehouse back there.
That's right.
It's going to happen.
Shiplap everywhere.
It's like, it's not feminine, Chip and Joanna. So I guess it's just Chip.
Chip, yeah. It's like if Chip went to the Filson store.
Yes.
And threw up.
Yeah.
That's where we'd be.
Exactly. But today's a very special day.
It is.
Because it's finally here.
We have a big announcement to make.
We're here to announce officially all the details of the MXU Live Tour 2022.
Come on.
And there's a reason Corey's on here with us.
Well, Corey happens to be a fairly well-accomplished, even though he's a youngster, fairly well-accomplished audio engineer.
Yep.
And he's going to be our mixer for the audio portion of the MXU Live Tour 2022.
That's right. So let's go high level here. So yep. When is it, where is it, and how can people get tickets? Because they're on sale, I believe, Monday today when this podcast comes out. It's a pre-sale.
That's right.
And tomorrow it goes public Tuesday.
That's right. So if you want to get in early for the pre-sale event, this is really just for kind of MXU listeners and fans only, really, because the public sale goes on tomorrow. But today you can get access to pre-sale, which is Monday, May 16th.
That's right. And May 17th it goes public.
Yes. But Corey's with us because he's going to be mixing the audio portion of the day. But I say portion of the day because the day is really more than just audio.
Yeah.
We've told you this before, but we're basically continuing what we started last year on the tour when we had our team day events. Three of the eight cities last year had a day for entire teams to come where we talked about audio, video, lighting, and leadership throughout the day and basically built a 20-minute worship set from scratch with a production meeting in the morning all the way through execution in the afternoon. And that's what we're going to continue to do on these dates.
That's right. And those dates are September the 9th. We will be in Atlanta, Georgia at Buckhead Church.
Come on. Actually, in the city of Atlanta.
I mean, in the ATL.
So for you guys who've come to Atlanta before and have said, man, this isn't Atlanta. Kind of like Dallas last year when we were outside of Fort Worth.
We were basically in New Mexico.
Exactly. Yeah. This is in Atlanta, and we couldn't be more excited to be hosted by Buckhead Church. A lot of great friends and people who feel like family there for me. You know, Jay and I have spent countless Sundays at Buckhead Church, and so we're thrilled to be back in Atlanta, but thrilled to be at Buckhead.
September 13th, Chicago, Illinois, at Park Community Church.
And again, actually in the city of Chicago.
In downtown Chicago. And they have their own parking. I know that's everyone's first question.
That's great.
Because they are in downtown. We haven't been to Park before, but we know people there. They've been great. They really wanted us to come there. So we made it happen, Captain.
We're doing it.
And then last but not least, September the 16th in Dallas, Texas at Hope Fellowship.
Amazing.
In Dallas. Actually, it's in Frisco.
But it's just, I mean, it's in the Metroplex at least.
It is.
It's like, it's fairly close to DFW and it's accessible to all of Dallas.
I think it's less than a half hour from the airport.
Yeah. We cannot wait. So what you heard was within a week, we're going to be in three different cities. And so it's a real compressed schedule for us, but we're thrilled to be bringing these things essentially back to back to back. Three cities, three experiences, all across the country, really. So wherever you live, you have access to bring you and your team.
But back to Corey. Corey is with us because you know, last year we had Thrive Worship.
Right.
They were the band for the day. So we programmed lighting to their songs. Rusty trained camera operators to their songs. We did sound check with the band on stage, and then they performed, and we did a worship set in the afternoon.
Right.
Well, this year we were trying to think of what band could we get? And, you know, Spencer on our team was like, hey, why don't you really just go for it and just ask?
We got the Beatles.
We got Paul McCartney. Corey's mixing. Yeah. Just kidding. So we called our friends at Elevation Church.
Yep.
And I just thought, let's just ask.
Just see if they even know who we are, yeah. Much less if they're interested.
Right. So first I talked to a friend of mine, Cole, on their marketing team at the label. And, you know, they really love partnering with churches and helping churches with resources. They have a whole YouTube channel just for church resources for the worship band, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So he loved it. And then he put me in touch with Alex, who runs all of their events. And then Alex and I got to talking. I sent Corey around on the back end. I'm like, hey, tell Alex and make this happen. And I'm here to announce that the band for the MXU Live Tour is going to be John Sal and Jenna Badientes from Elevation Church.
I love it.
And
so they're the whole band? They're going to play all the instruments?
They're not going to play all the instruments. They're bringing the A-team back line, but our worship leaders will be John Sal and Jenna.
That's amazing.
Who are two of my favorite people on the planet. And I can't wait.
I love it. So, Corey, you just got finished with the tour.
Yes.
And so you were with Elevation Worship. So we need to catch up on that because I've heard nothing but amazing reports from people who were there. You know, folks who actually messaged us in the MXU Slack channel who are, you know, team subscribers who said, this is probably the best worship experience and the best sound at a worship event I've ever heard. So talk us through how it went, how, you know, just your experience with the last couple of weeks, because I know you and Jay were together too.
Yes,
so
which
that was definitely special.
Jay being out there really was special, and I love him. We all love him so much, but he really was like my right-hand guy and helped make every day happen. You know, I always say without him, we wouldn't have the show to do because there wouldn't be gear in the room.
Yeah.
So he was just a really crucial part of that whole process. And he's just got the best temperament and relational skills when you're doing this merge of touring, like real world touring and church and ministry. Yeah. And he just handles situations and himself and everyone around him the best. So it was a no-brainer. I'm glad that he did it. I don't take it lightly that I got him out on a two-week tour because I know that's not normal for him. But the tour was awesome. We played some really cool rooms in the Northeast, and this was leg two of what we did in the fall. So very similar. We changed some set list stuff around. But it was a really good time. This is actually a funny, I texted Lee a couple times about it. I did not feel great mixing this tour for some reason. And it was bad, but I wasn't vibing it. And I think last time I came off of the MXU Live Tour just absolutely on fire. And this time it took me a little bit to like get the vibe and the mojo back. But it was a really interesting like imposter syndrome situation to go through. So a little vulnerable moment there. I'm glad everyone loved it, but
let's explore that a little bit. Yeah. What do you mean by imposter syndrome?
It's that thing of like, am I actually good at this? Is this good? You know, and I think last time I came in with a really good like reference point, and this time I kind of came in cold. So a couple times I looked over at Webster and I was like, is this good? Like, is this okay? And
yeah.
But it's that whole thing of wanting it to be as great as it can possibly be and not being okay with anything less. So you work. And I think the product turned out really great and I was really happy with it, but it definitely took some time to get the gears going this time around.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think we've all been there. I think the struggle is, you know, you don't have weeks and weeks and weeks to get it right. You guys didn't do a month worth of production rehearsals and all kinds of prep and all that. You had a day.
Yeah.
And you don't want to walk into day one of the tour and feel like you're only giving three quarters of your best. And oh, I'll get it right by Boston because we've got eight shows left. It's like, no, you want everybody every night to have a great experience. And so because it's just a kind of a one-off deal, it's like, man, you owe it to these people who are coming to be as excellent as you can possibly be. So I get that pressure. I've been there before, and I know you have too, Lee. So that's a big deal. But it's great that you had somebody like Webster, your system tech, at your side. He's been on the podcast before. Incredible engineer.
Yep.
When you lean over to him and go, hey, does this sound okay? If he says yes, you know you're doing okay.
Yeah.
And if it's not, he'll tell you it's not, because totally. He's going to give you an honest opinion.
Yeah. And we went back and forth too on a lot of like PA. We had a fun, I almost wish we could have filmed it, but the first couple of days, him and I were really massaging the EQ of the PA system versus what I was doing on the console. And I think two shows in, right after the show, I looked at him, I said, hey, tomorrow, tune the PA like you would tune anyone else's PA, and then let what I'm doing suck until I fix it. And it was kind of this, he and I have a really great relationship back and forth of, you know, massaging the way the PA sounds to what I'm doing. And sometimes it's really helpful and great. And this time I was like, I need to fix some stuff on my side on the console. I need to dig into some EQs and some levels. So do it and leave it and let me fix my stuff. And I think from then on, we got into a really good place, a really good groove. But sometimes you just have to stop and step back and reset and put your head down and start digging and finding the places that need to be fixed. And so, yeah, after that, it felt so much better to me.
Have you guys heard of this concept, the Dunning-Kruger effect? I think we've talked about this before on the podcast. Have you heard this, Corey?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Lee, you and I have talked about it a lot, and it is a real thing.
I think this is what you're experiencing, Corey. I think, well, let me tell you what it is. So there's a great YouTube video on this. If you just go to YouTube and search Dunning-Kruger effect, it's the cool animated one. So go watch that.
Yeah, it's like an explainer video with graphics and all that. Yeah.
But the concept is when you're talking about a skill set, when we're very early on in that skill set and you're trying to learn something new, our confidence in doing that and in our abilities is as high as it'll ever be in the first short period of time of learning that skill. And as time goes, I'm saying 20 years, 30 years, your confidence actually decreases, even though your knowledge and your actual ability to perform at a high level increases. So when you're actually not that good at it is when you're the most confident. But as time goes and you become a badass at whatever it actually is, your confidence is actually not as high as it was when you first started. But your humility certainly is, because you know things are more nuanced. Am I really that good at this? Turning to someone else and asking them, is this good? Mm-hmm. Those are all signs of progressing in that timeline, the humility coming out, and the overconfidence and the ego decreasing.
I'm glad that there's an explanation, because it's a terrible feeling.
It's actually a thing. Yeah. Well, and you know, we talked a lot on the tour last fall about the four stages of learning. And this kind of plays into that a little bit, because as you've gotten to the point where you are fully in unconscious competence, you have an awareness that you want to constantly check yourself to go, okay, am I just phoning this in? Am I just winging this? Because it feels kind of automatic. Like I don't want to just not dig in and do my very best, because some of these things come easy to me. Like, I know what to do. So it's like, am I really giving it my best? But you know, that combined with the Dunning-Kruger thing, it's like, man, that self-doubt and that questioning and all that, it creeps in, and it's a real interesting phenomenon.
It is. I think it's a good sign. I think
totally.
There's a point to where it can come debilitating, though, which I've experienced that. And you just start trying new things, and it gets all out of whack, and it's like, no, don't overthink it. But yeah, question yourself, is this good? That's all good in that striving to be the best that you can be.
Yeah. So for those of you guys who have seen the Lee Your Mix Sucks series on our stuff,
yes,
that's where you got was to the point where you were trying to implement everything into your show file and do all of what you were kind of gleaning from Andrew and me and you as we were learning as we started the MXU live events.
Yep.
And by the time you got to a point in 2019, it was like, I've tried to throw all these ingredients into this stew and now it doesn't taste like much of anything.
Yep.
I need to strip all that back and go back to the core.
Yep.
And it wasn't that you were less good at what you did.
Right.
You were better at the craft.
Right.
It was just losing sight of where the bullseye and the target was for you and the sound that you were going for.
Yeah, totally. And then the peak of that, I feel like, was the tour last year.
Yeah.
You know, using those tracks and taking, you know, 3 weeks to actually get as good as I could get. And then that last day in Nashville, I cried.
Yeah.
In front
we all did.
Room full of people because it was such a like long journey of trying to be the best that I could be the right way, being open-handed enough to say help, like all of those things. And then you're in a room full of people, and it was a few months after I left staff at the church.
Right.
So there was all of this other stuff.
Other
too,
sets of emotions all together. Right? Yeah.
But I like mixed, and then it's like, Raybould asked me, how did that feel? And I just like cried like a baby. So maybe on the tour this year, Corey, you're going to cry.
Very likely. I remember that moment when he asked that question. I like my chest, my like heart sunk because I was like, as soon as he asked it, my first thought was, that was like the best I've ever heard. And I was like praying and hoping that you were feeling the same about it. And I was like, oh, please. So when you responded, it definitely was a super emotional moment.
Creating content for your church is a 7-day-a-week job. Whether you're broadcasting or streaming Sunday services, creating pieces for social media, or documenting community activities and outreach, there's a Canon camera that's right for you. With our robust lineup of cinema cameras and lenses, professional camcorders, pan-tilt zoom cameras, broadcast lenses, and more, Canon offers intuitive imaging solutions for churches of every size and scope. Standing behind each product we make is our Canon Professional Solutions team, offering product loans, repair and maintenance plans, and staff training to help you ensure that everyone from first-time volunteer to seasoned veterans are well-versed in operating the equipment. To learn more about Canon's products, support solutions, or low-to-no-cost financing options, please visit usa.canon.com/worship.
So how do we take this conversation? And I mean, before we talk more about the tour, I don't want to leave this topic real quick because I think there's something that we can say to guys who mix in church every week, who are sitting behind their console in front of their same band, in front of their same PA. Like, how do we use this phenomenon as a way to encourage them and to help them continue to get better?
Can I start with the difficult part of that?
Yeah.
I get DMs a lot. People asking questions and things, and then sometimes I'll respond, and then their response back to me is where I see this.
Okay.
So I see a lot of, like, if I give someone some advice on, hey, maybe try to move that microphone here, or maybe switch this microphone, I'm thinking, hey, the way you're doing it, you're probably getting decent results, but there is a better way.
Yeah.
But then their response back to me will be very poignant and factual about their experiences. And it may be a 23-year-old who's only been doing this for 5 years. And they're like, oh, you're right.
Like, they're kind of trying to talk back to you, or they're
trying to tell me what they know.
Oh, okay.
They know way more than it's actually probably good for them. It's like, oh, you're right, because when you put this microphone here, this happens, and then you can do this on the console, and then your results will be this. And I always think now, oh, their confidence in their abilities are really high right now. They need, you know, let's see how they feel about this in 10 years. Because I would be like, well, I don't know if it's going to sound good when I put the microphone there.
Right. You're thinking like, well, this is what I might try.
Right.
Yeah. You're not telling them there's only one right way to do this.
Right. So I think if you're a young engineer And I don't mean in an age. I mean in experience.
Yeah.
Lighting designer, video director, leader of a team. It could really be anything. It could be a painter, right?
Yeah.
If you have not been doing it that long, and I don't know what that long is for you. Maybe it's a 2 years, maybe it's even five. But having the self-awareness to know that you are probably overconfident and your confidence level is much higher than your actual skill level.
Yeah.
I think that's a healthy place to get to.
It is. You know, Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000 hours thing. It's like, not that that's the gold standard for mastery.
Yeah.
But it is something, you know, wrote a daggum book about it.
Right.
There is something to that, especially if you've read the book, you'll understand what that means. But this idea of mastery of a skill, it's so, I think you're right on when you talk about how people respond with a very binary answer.
Yes. Yeah.
But with something as nuanced as music,
yeah,
and something as nuanced as the acoustics of your room, combined with the PA, combined with volunteers on stage, combined with an out-of-tune guitar, combined with all those other things.
I mean, think about lighting. It's totally, even more subjective.
Totally. So it's like, how do you sort of unravel those things that aren't super technical, physics-based,
yep,
binary from the art side and recombine them in a way that actually does get better and is helpful to you?
Right.
Corey, what do you think?
I'm soaking this all in because I need it. But I think what helped me is having people who believed in me, who I knew would be honest with me, and leaning on them and hearing that, and honestly holding what I was doing with open hands, because mm-hmm, what I truly was feeling was like, I need help. I don't know that it needs help, but I need help, like, personally. And I think this applies to a lot of church situations. Like, we did this tour last fall, same band, same consoles, same PA, same techs. Like, so I walked in thinking, oh, I'm just going to load up these files and we're going to go. And when that didn't work the right way and I knew it started this whole process in my head. And I think it's important to take a step back in those moments and see the big picture, take a big breath, clear your head, clear your space, you know, your space, and go back into it and be really critical of what you're feeling in those moments and trying to pick out the realities and then things that may not be quite so real, because I think that plays into this too, of somewhat of a mind game of, is there actually an issue or is it good? And can I move on, right, to find the things that are actually problems that I can fix? And when you find those and you don't know how to fix them, to know when and how and where to reach out to find help, because, you know, no one knows everything. And I think it's important to have a team of people around you that support you through those moments.
That's really good. You know, I've, as you were talking, I'm remembering specific circumstances where I would sit and get so focused on a snare drum, for example, that every backbeat sounded different. And I'm like, what's wrong with the snare drum? What's wrong with the snare drum? There was nothing wrong with the snare drum. I was just so focused on the nuance that if his playing altered in the slightest, if the snare drum sounded just minusculely different, it would drive me crazy. And it's like, okay, you got to zoom out. Because like you said, you were getting good results. It's like, even when things are going well, it's great to have that open-handed mentality, that humility that goes, okay, I need a spot check here. Everybody, yeah, around me, is this okay? Does this look all right? Is this shot okay? Does this mix feel okay? And to be okay with good, honest feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, and in a situation where it's high pressure and you know, there's a lot of situations like that where this has to be good, and I think I felt that. And you know, part of that team extended out to even like Steven at Mike Reynolds. I chose a different mic capsule, and realized I didn't like it and called him on a Sunday night and said, how fast can I get 10 of this other thing? And he just said, I've got you. And they showed up at the next arena. And I think I spent my time with my head down in the console when I really just needed to make a couple swaps and ask the hard questions of like, hey, I texted him. I said, I'm crazy for this. I know, but can you do this? Can we make this happen? And I think that's what helped turn the corner of, again, not bad to good, but good to great, is finding where I actually needed to make some changes. And I couldn't have done that without some of the people that I had behind me and around me.
I figured you were in your head a little, you know, because you were texting me like struggling. I don't remember what you said, but you weren't happy.
Yeah.
And same band, same PA, same console, same Corey, same everything. And I thought, he's in his head. But I've been there.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah, we all have.
So I just started texting you like just encouragement.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but I was just like every couple of days trying to remind you that you're good at your job.
Well, and you said something that I think is really important and actually took some weight off of my shoulders is I texted you. I was like, I'm really struggling. And you said, everyone says it sounds great. And I think I had said back like, yeah, I think it does, but I'm not vibing with it. And I said, I'm not vibing with it. And so it doesn't matter to me that it still sounds great. And I think you said like, that's the right answer. And some of that was this relief of like, okay, I know it's good, but I need to feel good about it. And so I'm going to keep working for myself till I feel like we're jiving, you know, and firing on all cylinders. And I really appreciated the encouragement because I needed it, truthfully.
Like, well, that's a really good word for some of our listeners who are mixing in church every week, because if all they hear is, man, that was great. That was great. That was great. That was great. Sounded great this morning. Sounded great.
Right.
We still need to challenge ourselves. It's a fine line, because you don't want to get so tweezy about everything that you start to just add unnecessary plugins or add a workflow that doesn't make any sense, or, you know, make your console do things that are just fun for you because your console can do it, but you don't really need to. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about critically listening to go, okay, is it my best? Is it as good as it can be? And if not, how can I make a couple of tweaks to get there? You know, even if it's a half a step further down the road, it's like, what can I do this week to challenge myself? You know, and it might be changing some of your processing. It might be, you know, EQ tweaks. It might be, you know, taking a guitar player or a singer aside and having a tough conversation. I don't know what it is for you, but, you know, finding those moments where you can continually challenge yourself to get better. Because that's really what this is all about. That's why we started this thing in the first place.
And still why we're here.
Exactly.
You know, there's no like, we've arrived, let's stop.
Right.
You know, so I think exactly that feeling you felt is a good sign.
Yeah.
Like if we're always happy with everything we do, that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem.
But all that's to say, the MXU live tour better not suck, Corey.
Yeah, Corey.
You better bring your A game.
I've got my band guys with me, and they're a huge part of what I do. And so I'm excited for everyone to see that interaction and that, because there's a lot of banter. Like I've been with them for 5 or 6 years now, and they're still on this tour, same people, same gear. There's so much banter back and forth, and I'm grateful that they are so on board with what I'm trying to do. And I think it's gonna be really fun to.
Yeah, so speaking of that, one thing, just we're going to make a mental note right now, because I think during the sort of sound check part of the day, when we do this live, we're going to have everybody's talkbacks in the PA so that people who attend can actually hear that banter and hear how it's useful and helpful. And, you know, because everybody's implementing talkbacks these days for the most part, but just in terms of process, it's like, how can we make this system that we've implemented the most effective? You know, sometimes it's just joking around, before sound check, you're just noodling around and kind of messing with each other. That's great. But during the like heat of the moment, like what do those talkbacks actually do and how can they be most useful? Because that could be a game changer for a lot of folks.
Yeah,
it will be. So go get those tickets at getmxu.com.
Yes.
We have early bird pricing that's available temporarily. There's only a set number of early bird tickets.
Right.
So those are going to go away and we'll go to a regular general admission ticket. So
right. That's not based on a time deadline. That's right. Based on a number of tickets.
Right.
So get early bird tickets. Like don't wait until
August
or July to buy your tickets. They're going to go fast. Yeah. So you can go get them today. Getmxu.com. Look under the live tab and you'll have all the information right there.
We thought about doing a 2-ticket minimum.
I think we should. I mean, I know we're not going to, but just here's a note from your Uncle Jeff. Don't come alone. This is meant to be experienced as a team.
Yeah. Right.
The whole day is for your team. So if you buy a solo ticket,
don't come. just give us the $125 and don't come. Thanks.
That's funny.
I'm kind of serious. No, it really is. Like, you should bring someone from your team. But okay, so we just talked a lot about audio. Audio is only 1/3 of the day.
That's true.
So lighting, you know, Daniel Cannell is going to be with us again, and he's going to do exactly what we did last year. It was so beneficial. That was one of my favorite parts of the day.
Oh, yeah.
So, Corey, you've got a history with Daniel. Daniel has experience with Elevation Church. So we kind of know what to expect, but tell everybody what they can expect.
Daniel, yeah, we've done a couple of the tours together, and I know he's done a bunch of stuff at the church, and he's just masterful at that style of music, and he's so artistic and musical with it. And I think it's going to be cool to see him light a lot of these songs that people are doing in their own churches, and to see his take on it, and to see, like get a peek into his brain while it's happening. And I know he's done a lot of it for us, like even just on the fly and flowing with the band. And there's a real art to that. And I think he does such a great job at following that.
He's the best lighting teacher we've seen, you know, so there's that. He's an exceptional teacher, but he has this ability to make a giant lighting rig with, you know, let's say there's 20 or 30 moving lights, to make it look like it's accessible and approachable to churches that may say, well, we don't want moving lights because that's not us.
Right.
Because what he does with them, it's just amazing what the guy can do.
It's not flash and trash.
No.
It's tasteful and musical and artistic.
Right.
The other thing to your point, Corey, that I loved about last year was the times when he would program maybe a song and a half and then we'd run out of time. So he'd say, okay, I've set up a few kind of punt cues where I can do what's called busking, which is basically just following along with the flow, using some of the core that I've created as a sort of building block for just following along with the band and making these musical moments happen visually. That to me was the most interesting thing because he didn't have these cues programmed, and yet he's creating this moment in these songs that's stunning.
Yep.
So for people who have that sort of, you know, set up, tear down kind of system where they don't have a ton of time to pre-program songs.
Yep.
That is going to be a huge lesson. So again, the day is meant to be an incredible opportunity to learn from the best in the industry.
And you know, that reminds me too, like it's a 1-day event. This is actually a great opportunity to bring people from your staff, not on your team, people like your executive pastor, your senior pastors, your CFOs, so that you can show them what you can accomplish by using technology the right way. Because I think a lot of times you can put together a lighting proposal, send it into the board, and then you're asking for 24 moving lights, and then all they think of is a Nine Inch Nails concert.
Right.
And this is a great way to show, like, no, this is what's possible done the right way.
I love that.
Your favorite part of the day, and mine, is video. Rusty.
Rusty, I said it last week. I just loved watching him direct in the moment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at our event, the video director is actually at front of house.
Right.
Or in front of house.
Right.
Depending on the scenario. So you get to see him interact with camera ops in real time during the music. And it was so much fun. The other thing that I loved and that we'll continue to do this year is we're going to pull random people out of the audience to be our camera ops.
Yep.
You may have never touched a camera before, and by the end of it, you're going to go, this is really hard. Or
yeah.
You're going to go, this is really fun. Like, I had no idea what my video team was doing. So
right.
To have that opportunity and to see that happen in front of your eyes is just, it's priceless.
For sure. And multiple times we pulled senior pastors from the audience and put them on the tripod camera.
Yeah.
So that they could experience what it's like to follow someone awesome. Walking on stage. Pretty awesome.
That's pretty amazing. Awesome.
Well, cool, fellas.
We had a couple of interesting turn down for MXUs.
We did.
We might want to just at least glance at one of those.
Let's do that. Corey, did you have any people like write emails or anything like that complaining about the sound on the tour?
Halfway through, I had this thought that no, I've not heard or seen one complaint, and I don't know why. I was expecting it. To be completely honest, I was waiting for the people to just come up to front of house. But this tour, I mixed a little quieter than last time. I think it dawned on me that I don't want to hear, something that loud for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I lived at 98.
Okay. Well, let's use this as a way to maybe challenge your living at 98 because we got a, pretty interesting note from one of our friends. You guys have never heard of this church, so it's okay for us to talk about them because nobody knows who Life Church is, so that's fine. This is straight from their email inbox. Quote, "What is the purpose of having your worship services so extremely loud? I was appalled after checking with the local pastor that your limit for sound is the sound of a lawnmower. Any sounds over 70 decibels cause hearing damage, and some people get a condition called tinnitus where their hearing is damaged. I was one of those people, and it's a nightmare. May I suggest that you have at least one service that is at a level quieter than 65 decibels at each campus? I'm not the only one who has complained about this and left. We have served at Life Church since 2012 and have heard many complaints about it being so loud. I hope you have ears to hear what I'm saying." Jesus Duke. "Until the noise level drops, I will attend a quieter church."
Good luck finding that. I would like to pay for his gas until he finds a church that's 65 dB.
Well, what he doesn't realize is the conversation at his dinner table is louder than 65
dB. I know. I also just said that wrong. I'd be broke.
I was going to say, I don't think you want to do that.
No.
Well, in Oklahoma, you'd at least have a little relief that's compared true. To California.
You know what I meant.
I do.
There was a way for me to get rich there. Not him get rich. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be a Tesla lawnmower, by the way. 65 dB.
That's right.
Battery powered
for sure.
Gosh. Do you guys get reviewed in magazines or anything or newspapers?
No, I don't know. Not that I see.
Yeah, don't look at them.
We just live our best lives and figure it out as they come.
It's probably best.
Yeah.
We had another one from somebody who kept talking about the sound level in terms of decimals.
Decimals?
Yes. "The sound person controlling the volume must be a young person. I have a decimals meter on my phone." Yeah, I do too. It's called a calculator. Yeah.
I had a lot of decimals going.
"And it was hitting 110 decimals. 90 decimals should be your max. After that, it is ear damaging. Now I have to sleep with a sound machine as it has made my tinnitus quadruple. I can't imagine what it might be doing to young children. It was like going to a rock concert. Totally unacceptable." So,
there's an argument to the sound machine thing because they're listening to sustained volume over however many hours they're sleeping. It might actually be more damaging than the 1 hour church service.
That's true.
Well, and that's the thing. Anybody who knows anything about OSHA knows that that is basically sustained volume over time.
Right.
So a 5-minute song with peaks at 98 is not going to be nearly as damaging as an hour and a half with your lawnmower.
No.
With no protection.
Webster had some nifty new smart OSHA meter thing, and it was like a count up to 100 for like exposure over the time of our entire show. It was like a new addition to the SBL meter, but it gives you exposure level
over time.
Over time, and it was like a game to see where if I could hit the same every night as far as how loud
I know
I was mixing it.
Trend has awesome. That, and I would always set my average, like, see if I can get to 95.9.
Yeah.
This was in church. I wanted the average for a 20-minute worship set or whatever to be 95.9.
Just random.
It's so hard to get within a tenth of a decimal average over time.
Oh, yeah.
That's very hard.
That's awesome. Well, keep those turned down for MXUs coming, because we love hearing it. You know, as far as the phone thing, like anybody who has a complaint based on what their phone is telling them, it's like, okay, sorry, but if you don't have anything calibrated, you don't have any idea what you're talking about, it's like, it's hard for me to take you seriously. But I understand that they feel like it's too loud, so we have to try to find the grain of truth in there somewhere. But as we've said many times, it's probably about tonality more than it is about decimals. So... Don't get caught up in your decimals.
Was there a guitar solo? Was there strobe lights? That means it was too loud for someone.
That's true. Was there haze in the room? That means it's completely.
Could you see the speakers?
Right. Giant black line array hanging from the white
it's
ceiling.
Too loud.
This looks too loud.
All right, boys. Well, this is really fun. I can't wait for September.
Me neither. We should get you and John Sal on the podcast together in the next month or two.
I would love that. We should also get whoever the music director is coming out with us.
Yeah, I think it's LJ.
Oh, sick.
We'll see, but I think it's LJ.
Wait till you hear him play B3. It's pretty unbelievable.
Can't wait for that.
Yep. Can't wait.
All right, fellas.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Corey.
Yes.
Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Can't wait for September. Again, getmxu.com to get your tickets. And we'll see you in September.
See ya.